Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, your one stop for creative inspiration. We have a terrific hour of ideas and tips for you today. So let's get to it. Here's your host, Pat Sloan.
Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting's podcast. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and the first person I'm going to talk to today, I am so excited about. I met Deborah Busby at Wooden Spool Designs when we were both in California at a show, and she gave me the most incredible strawberry pincushion. It's just amazing. And from then on, I've been a huge fan of her work, and I want you to meet her. This is just so much fun. Hi, Deborah. Thanks for being here.
Hi, Pat. Thanks. And you can call me Debbie.
Okay, good, good. So, Debbie, when did you start sewing?
Well, I officially started sewing, held my first needle probably when I was a little girl with my grandmother. I used to sit and watch her. She made doll clothes for us, for me and my sisters. And so I started probably just doing a little bit then. And when I was in high school, I took home economics, and that's where I learned how to do the majority of my beginning sewing. And then after I got married, the first thing we purchased was a Kenmore sewing machine from Sears. So it went on from there, sewing clothes and kids' clothes and things like that.
So you did a lot of clothing to begin with, because that's
Yes, I did.
In high school, home ec, that's usually what we start with, right?
That's right, exactly. And I did a little needlepoint also, was introduced to needlepoint with yarn on that canvas when I was in high school too. So I did a little bit of that type of work.
Yeah, I did that too. It was like tapestry, we called it. You did.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, it was like painted on there. I liked that. When did you start your business, Wooden Spool Designs?
I started my business in about 2002. I used to sew, as my kids grew up and I stopped sewing clothes for them, I did some sewing of models for a couple little quilt shops here in the area of craft type things. Mm-hmm. And my mom and I used to do bazaars together. And then when she was ill and I was her caregiver, she asked me, like, what do you want to do, Debbie? And I said, well, I'd like to try to make a pattern, because I'd made so many patterns. And so after she passed away, I made my first pattern. And then a friend of mine put it in her quilt shop, and it went on from there.
Oh, my goodness. That is, it's like your mom's come with you, you know?
Yes. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Very special.
Mm-hmm. Now, you do a lot with wool. Are your designs exclusively wool?
Mostly wool, but not all. I use some cottons, and I'm starting to use more cottons with some backgrounds and things for them, and some stitchery in them, but mostly wool. Mm-hmm. And hand-dyed wools.
And you dye your own wool. I've tried it, and I am happy to buy it from you, because it's a process. Tell me a little bit about dyeing wool.
Okay, well, I used to buy my wool too, and then I thought, well, maybe I should just learn to dye my own. So I learned about in 2005 and did it in the kitchen. And since then, we've made a room, one of our garages, into a dye room. Mm-hmm. So I could do it out there, and now the family gets to eat again. But the wool process is, you have little packets of dye in the hot pots, and you mix your dyes, and you measure it and mix it with the water and the salt and the vinegar and things like that. But it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of work, and some colors are more challenging than others. Excuse me. Red is probably my biggest challenge, because everybody has a different eye for red, and they see blue in it, or they see yellow in it, or they see, so that's probably my most challenging color to do. But I think this last week I kind of came up with a new red that I'm going to like, so.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah. So always trying something.
Now, let's talk about working with wool for a little bit, because if it's hand-dyed, you've gone through a major process with this wool, and it's felted and everything else. Do people still need to rinse that or set it at all after they purchase hand-dyed wool?
No, you shouldn't have to. I mean, once it's been dyed, it's gone through the hot water, and it's been rinsed, and it's been set, and then it's gone through a hot dryer. So, if it's done correctly, it's been dyed correctly, it shouldn't have to go through any of that process. If you buy wool from a store, fabric store, or from Goodwill, and you get wool clothing, you need to wash that, which felts it. And so you need to put it in hot water and a wash, and then a cold rinse, and then a hot dryer, and that will felt the wool.
So if it's not felted already, it doesn't have that sort of thickness and density that the hand does.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I mostly use 100% wool. That's my favorite thing to use. But if you're looking for wool, finding wool, I would recommend that you use at least 85% of it be wool. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it doesn't really felt properly. And you tend to have more fraying on the edges.
Right, and it's like it doesn't ever get that thickness if it doesn't have enough real wool in it.
That plump, softness that it gets when you, it's just like you have to just touch it when it's done because it's so nice.
It is. It's a very tactile craft. I mean, if people haven't touched wool yet, you know, they need to because it's so glorious. You are an active contributor to American Patchwork and Quilting magazine's family of magazines. And there's a couple of your things online. One of them being that we're talking here in September, I thought it'd be fun if you told me about the wool pumpkin bag that people can find on allpeoplequilt.com, which is a free pattern.
Yeah, it's with one of my older projects that's been on there, and it's a little bag. It's about 8 by 11 or so. It's very, very simple for anybody to do. Mm-hmm. It's just little, the pumpkin is actually little strips of wool just placed next to each other and overlapping a little bit, and that forms the pumpkin. And so it's not intimidating at all.
Yeah, so it's a pretty easy one for people to start with.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Now, how did you do the stem? Because it looks like wool in the picture.
Yeah, the stem is wool. And then it has little vines that I just cut strips of wool and then just kind of move them around, and I place them with my pins. When I applique, I cut my pieces using freezer paper. And so I trace my design onto the freezer paper, and then I press that. Freezer paper has like a shiny side and a dull side. Mm-hmm. And so the shiny side always goes down, and you place the freezer paper onto your wool and press it. Mm-hmm. And then once it's pressed onto the wool, you cut on the line that you traced through the paper and the wool at the same time, and then you pull off and you have your shapes.
So that stabilizes the wool so it's not shifting when you're trying to cut it.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't use any fusible or any glue. My favorite for placement of my designs when I'm stitching is applique pin. And I've tried the others, but for me, that's just what I like. But there's really not a wrong or right. So.
Yeah, because if you used fusible, which I have experimented both ways, they'll be very flat. You won't have that lift and texture that you do.
Yes, that's what I find. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what kind of threads do you like to work with? Because wool being, you're not turning the edges under, right? It's all raw edge.
No, right. It's raw edge. Yeah. And I have used a lot of different variations of threads over the years. Right now I've been using a lot of Valdani. I like pearl cotton is what I like to use. But there's, you know, when I there's not a right or wrong. It's every thread gives your project a different look. You know, whether you use a heavier thread or a thinner thread. If I have small pieces, I like to use just a single thread you could use of embroidery floss. Mm-hmm. You can use I do some of my designs in all black thread. And I like to use, a number 12 pearl cotton, or I like to use YLI wax. It's a glazed cotton quilting thread. It has a nice stability to it, and it doesn't tangle easily.
It's got, that has like a firmness to it, the waxed one?
Yes.
Or the glazed one?
It's a glazed,
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now you have...
any thread is good.
Yeah. What was that again?
I said any thread. Any thread works. It just, you know, gives a different look.
Yeah. So you need to experiment to see what you like
what
to
you
work
like.
In. Yeah. Tell me about your new bee pattern, because it is... stinking cute. Oh my gosh, it is so cute.
Thanks. It's my new design I just did last spring, And it's a wall hanging type quilt. It's about 48 by 62. And it uses 12 different blocks that are 15 by 15 sewn together. And each block has a bee theme to it. And I kind of designed it because I've been drawn to bees pretty much my whole life. I'm allergic to bees, and my last name has always been started with a B. And my last name right now is Busby. And so everybody just always calls me the busy bee. You know, I'm just busy all the time, busy as a bee. So I thought I just need to make a bee quilt. So that's kind of where that started from.
Now, is that stitched on to cotton, or is that onto wool?
Yes, it's a hand-dyed cotton backing. It's dye wobble, the fabric backing. Mm-hmm. But you could use a homespun or maybe even the woolly flannels you could use as a background. Mm-hmm. So there's a variety of different options you could do.
Now, people can see all this at woodenspooldesigns.com, and we have just about a minute, Debbie, and I want you to tell me about that you do teach and you do vend and things like that. So how can people find you?
Yes, on woodenspooldesigns.com, and I also have a blog on woodenspooldesigns.blogspot.com. I have a Wooden Spool Design Facebook page that I keep updated with what's going on and where I'm teaching. And let's see, what else?
And you vend also, so people can find you.
I do vending at shows. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep, so they can go to my sites and find out where I'm going to be.
Okay. Good. Tell me about the class just real quick. You had some of our friends from Australia you gave a class to, Gail Pan and her friends.
Yes. She contacted me about 9 months ago or so and said she was coming to the States for a show and she was going to be teaching locally. And so would I do a workshop for them? So I said yes. And we had such a great time. I worked up a little workshop here in my home. They came and we just spent all day together and got to take them on a little tour of the gorge here where I live. And we had so much fun stitching.
Debbie, thank you for being here. I appreciate
it. Yes. Thank you so much, Pat.
So everybody go out and visit Debbie, and then hopefully you'll see her at a show. And we're going to take a little break, and we'll be right back with American Patchwork and Quilting's podcast. I'm Pat Sloan.
100 of your favorite patterns from American Patchwork and Quilting, Quilts and More, and Quilt Sampler, all available online. Buy downloadable patterns today at apqshop.com.
This quilting tip brought to you by Moda Fabrics. Visit modafabrics.com or your local quilt shop to see the latest fabric collections. To store a matching spool and bobbin together, thread both onto a long pipe cleaner and twist the pipe cleaner ends together.
Here's a special offer just for radio listeners. Get 2 full years of American Patchwork and Quilting delivered right to your door for less than half the cost on the newsstand. You won't miss an issue that's packed with never-before-seen projects from top designers, complete materials lists for all projects, and easy-to-use pull-out patterns and quilting diagrams. Subscribe today online, and you'll also get a free downloadable pattern. Check it out. Go to allpeoplequilt.com.
Follow American Patchwork and Quilting on Pinterest to find ideas for bags, baby projects, pillowcases, storage and organization, and more. Visit Pinterest.com/APQ magazine to join the fun.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting's podcast. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. Have you been out to the website Nana Company? And if you have, you have seen beautiful, beautiful stitchery projects and photography, just amazing photography. Well, I have been following Amy Sinibaldi for quite a long time, and I finally thought, you know, I would like to talk to her. So this would be my chance. Amy, thank you for being here.
Hi, Pat. I'm so honored to be here.
This is so much fun. I have been a huge fan for, I don't even know how long. I don't know where I found you, like, you know, ages ago.
Thank you.
Now, can you tell me when did you do a lot of stitching? When did you first start stitching? As a child, or did you take it up later?
I actually didn't start stitching or sewing or working with fabric at all until about 2006. Mm. So, I think it was Father's Day, and my husband took me to the store, and we actually got me a sewing machine, and that was like my Father's Day gift, which is funny because he probably got a pair of socks, but it's become a joke in our family.
That's funny. So, do you still have that machine?
I do, but it's sitting in a box now. Now I'm using a Singer, so I feel like I grew up a little bit. But he's now talking about getting me one of those really big fancy machines. I look forward to that.
Yeah, you will. You'll love it. Tell me a little bit about what you design, what you like to design, because your projects have a lot of embroidery and, on fabric, on sort of linens. What inspires you to do this?
I generally like using a lot of patchwork and linen, of course, and then adding some embroidery into it. And just, I like to make small things. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's because of like my time constraints and I've got four kids, but I do like smaller projects and I just like to make little small charming things, even if they're really not that useful.
Right.
I just like making pretty things.
You know, I think that that's what is so appealing is that your projects are doable. You know, people want to finish, not everything can be the masterpiece. One of the things you put on your work lately was you have a pillow with a house on it, like a little log cabin, and you added embroidery, like cross stitching to it too, like just in the quilting.
Yeah. Sometimes I start out with like a piece of patchwork that I really like, and that just leads me into the project. For that one, I think I did a cross stitch, thought it was really cute, and then afterwards kind of decided what I wanted to do with it, and it just turned into a house, and I love house stuff, so I thought that one came out pretty cute.
Now, you have been stitching and sharing for a while. Why did you decide to share online versus just, stitching for your family?
Well, I really didn't do much stitching for my family at all. I started out and I found a blog called All Sorts. I was really inspired. That was in 2007. Mm-hmm. And found out that there were these women online that were, doing these crafts and sharing them. And I was like, wow, this is amazing. So it took me a while. I started a little store on Etsy and then started sharing projects on Flickr. It took a lot of time and people who really supported me and commented and encouraged before I started my blog and then really started sharing. And so it was like baby steps, but it's been such an awesome journey. It's been so great.
Now, how often do you actually put things out, Amy, on your site? Because, obviously you have a very busy life, besides, creating like this. Do you have like a schedule?
I don't have a schedule. It's really hard keeping a schedule around here. I mean, I try to at least post once a week. It's been mm-hmm. crazy lately this summer. I've been really busy working on behind the scenes projects. So I was kind of absent for about a month and a half, but I feel like I'm back now and at least once a week, if not more often. Mm-hmm. And then, you'll find me on other sites like on eHow. I'll be contributing there and adding projects over there as well. So,
and those are all linked from your site.
Exactly. Yeah. I link from my Nana company to eHow. Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about the photography that you do, because I think that's one of the key parts about really liking what you share is your photography.
Well, I am so flattered. That's one of the hardest things I struggle with is photography. I love taking pictures. I feel like I have the hardest time though taking pictures of my own work. Like I feel like I can take great pics of my kids, but when it comes to photographing a doll quilt or just something I've made, I have a harder time. But The key thing, I think, is to use natural light, mm-hmm. is what I found. Natural light, and just, you know, add little accessories here and there, and, you know, to pretty it up a little bit.
Well, that's the part that you're very good at, is the prettying up
Thank
part.
You.
I'm looking at this beautiful photo with, you know, you've tied the fabric. The fabric's all neatly folded, and then you've tied it with beautiful twine, and you have lovely old spools sitting on top of it. All of that is the styling and your aesthetic. It's like you have a great attention to detail.
Yeah, I do shop for accessories. Like, I love going to antique markets and stuff like that. And whenever I find anything cute, I just pick it up. I know I can use it in a picture someday. Mm-hmm. So I've always got my eye out for little things like that.
So tell me a little bit about you're working on a special project, but you told me I could say what it was. You're working on a book. So
I am. I'm so excited. My first book is with Tuba Publishing. Mm-hmm. And the title right now is Sweetly Stitched Handmade. It should be coming out soon if everything goes well. And just really excited about that.
So are the projects all smaller then?
Yeah, they're smaller projects, 18 projects, of course, a lot of linen and patchwork and embroidery, just the kind of stuff you would see on my blog.
Oh, gorgeous. I can't wait.
I know.
It's so exciting. So tell me about your tip for rulers. You have a nice tip for keeping your rulers from sliding.
Well, I always had a problem with my second burst and cutting and having your ruler slip and I hate to waste fabric. So I found with all of my rulers, even with the ones that are already called non-slip, if mm-hmm. you just kind of spray them very, very lightly with basting spray and then rub the whole area with a piece of cotton batting, it makes them lightly, lightly fuzzy, and it'll never slip on your fabric. And I feel like that's just saved me. Because even like the smaller, you know, the little rulers that you get, not the normal square ones, mm-hmm. but, you know, say hexagon rulers or soaker rulers that generally don't even offer the non-slip kind. So you can do it yourself.
That's great. We all have a rule. And don't you sometimes have a rule that you've had a long time? It's like your favorite, but, you know, it's
okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you've used it forever. And it's, So you can just, you know, redo it and no slip. Perfect.
Perfect. I have a question about detail and how you add the detail to your projects. I'm looking at your pencil case that you have, and along the zipper, it's like you have it beautifully covered, like a binding on either side of the zipper, and then you have, I don't know what it is, like lace or some sort of beautiful vintage something sticking out in there. How do you get it so nice and neat? That's like the trick.
Well, that pencil case was made with my friend's pattern. Her name is Christine, A Pretty by Hand. I know she was on your show. Mm-hmm. She's a great friend. That is her awesome pattern. And her pattern includes, a version that you can use with lace. I chose a crochet trim, a very, very a thin one.
Okay.
And I actually basted that on by hand in mm-hmm. order to get it really neat. Mm-hmm. I think it's a step a lot of people don't enjoy doing. But to get, you know, to get it to be as straight as possible sometimes, if you're going for that really perfect look, mm-hmm. basting it on by hand. Sometimes I use a fabric glue stick, which is my latest fave find. I love using a fabric glue stick. Mm-hmm. So I use that in that project to kind of get it as straight as possible.
I think the basting is a big tip, because we just try to hold it, or you try to pin it here and there.
Yeah.
And
I feel like pins kind of can distort the layers a little bit in a way that basting doesn't. And, you know, basting, it can be, you know, as quick as pinning if you just make, you know, fairly large stitches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I see that in your work over and over, where you have these small details, and that's a great way to do it then, because I always wondered, how'd she get that so neat and tidy? It's like, So how do you sort of manage your time with having four children at home? I mean, how do you fit it in?
It's rough, but you can ask my husband. cooking, that doesn't happen much anymore. Cleaning, that doesn't happen much anymore. And I work a lot. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's a balance. And the summer was kind of hard because I was working on the book. But now I feel like I'm back to normal. And, you know, you just divvy up your day. And lately I've been working with nap times as well with my little one. But
right, because you still have a small one at home. So
yeah, she's two. And actually, she just started preschool. And quite suddenly, I found myself with this empty house. My kids are back to school, and she's in preschool, and I can actually, you know, really devote myself to this time without, you know, spending with a baby on my lap. So
right.
It's pretty awesome.
That would be nice to have a couple hours.
Going without a baby on your lap is a lot easier.
Oh, my gosh, Nan. Now, people, I want everybody to go to your site. It's nanacompany.typepad.com and see Amy Sinibaldi's gorgeous, gorgeous photography and projects. Thank you, Amy, for being here.
Thank you, Pat, so much. It's been great.
So we are going to take a little break here in a second. And when we come back to American Patchwork and Quilting's podcast, I am going to have Elaine Schmidt, and we're going to talk about ribbons.
Boost your sewing skills from start to finish with daily tips from the editors of American Patchwork and Quilting. Visit tips.allpeoplequilt.com for inspiration. This quilting tip brought to you by Moda Fabrics. Visit modafabrics.com or your local quilt shop to see the latest fabric collections. Set yourself up to stitch a little every day. When you finish stitching, before putting everything away, rethread your needle and take the first stitch. Then the next time you pull out your project, you'll be ready to sit down and start stitching.
Make the most of your sewing machine by watching Machine Minute videos brought to you by BabyLock. Learn about popular topics like tension troubles, stitch length, needles, buttonholes, zipper basics, and more. Watch these videos at allpeoplequilt.com/videos.
Take an ultimate shop hop tour of 11 top quilt shops. You'll find them all in the current issue of Quilt Sampler, available now at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilt Things podcast, and I am so excited to have Elaine Schmidt back. She has been on before, and she is full of information. I have never met anybody with so many ideas. Elaine has them going and coming and upside down. So, Elaine, thanks for being here.
Oh, you're welcome, Pat. It's nice to be back.
I really do think that you are like the idea woman. I mean, does your brain ever stop?
Yes, occasionally it stops. Sometimes I think it goes backwards, but no, it always goes forward to more fun ideas.
Oh, my goodness. You are just so cool. We are going to talk today about some quilting and some ribbony stuff. You do a lot with ribbons, too. But let's first talk a little bit about, you know, things that people can do with fabric. You have a book called Pre-Cut Patchwork Party, and people are always buying collections or have fat quarters or things like that. And then they write and they say, you know, what should I do with this? You have told them. Tell me about it.
Those wonderful pre-cuts and rolls and charm squares are like eye candy. It's kind of hard to resist. So we buy them and we bring them home and then we look at them because they're so pretty we don't want to do anything with them. Yeah. And, of course, there's lots and lots of ideas for making quilts with them, but I wanted to think of other things to do with them, how to approach them for sewing projects or home decor projects. and get people using them. And, you know, they're just perfect in the sense that they give you a head start. They're already cut. They're coordinated. You have the same color palette running through them, the same base fabric. So they're perfect to stitch together for many things besides quilts.
Yeah, your book has, you know, projects where you don't have to have a whole collection, which is nice because people will pick up, you know, three or four of this and they go nice together. But tell me about one of the projects in here that is a real great one for a lot of folks to do.
Well, there's, you know, I've done home decor projects and wearables and gifts. You know, one of the projects I like are just a simple set of placemats that's done with a stitch and flip method, but you're using those pre-cut strips, and you can mix and match them. You can take a light one against a dark one. You can use every little bit of a roll of jelly roll strips, say about 30 strips, and you can end up with four placemats, and I take fat quarters and make line places with them. Line napkins with them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the whole thing can be done with very little waste, and because it's cut and ready to go, it's a quick start kind of thing. It's all straight sewing, and so it's a good project for someone who maybe is getting back into sewing or, you know, is learning how to sew. Something startling I found out is there are people in this world who do not have stashes.
Oh.
I know that's hard for most of us to think about, but I have met people that maybe they've sewn in the past, haven't sewn
right.
in a while, and they're interested in getting back into it. So with some pre-cuts and my book, they can get started on some very easy projects to sew.
I like the pillow that's in here because pillows are such an easy way to just change up your look. And if you've bought the fabric, you probably really want to see it. Don't you find that when people like show you these, you know, what am I going to do with these five fat quarters? Well, they want to look at them because they're so pretty.
They're so pretty. You don't need to really cut into them that much. I like to use them for what they are. When I look at pre-cuts, I either think of them as how I can stitch them together to form a new fabric. Maybe I'll alternate lights and darks or place certain ones together. Or I like to think of them as pieces, like a puzzle piece. Say if I want to make a pillow cover or a pillowcase,
mm-hmm.
I know that the width of that pillowcase is just about the width of a fat quarter. So I figured out a way how to make a pillowcase for fat quarters in a strip. And again, very little waste, and it's cut and it's ready to go.
And do you have a tip for making a nice, you know, making the pillows look more professional?
I tend to make my pillow covers a little bit smaller than my form so that when I stuff that form in there, it pokes out all the way to the side. And sometimes I will take that corner. I'm not quite making it a perfect 90-degree corner. I'll angle it in a little bit because I find, again, that with the pre-cuts, with the forms that are out there, the way they're stuffed, they don't always get into a perfectly square pillowcase. So those are just a couple little things I do sometimes to make sure that it's a real tight fit.
That is a great tip, you know, because if you make them oversized, then they just don't look quite as professional.
No, you want them tight. You want them real tight. So, again, like I said, I just make it maybe the same exact size as the pillow form or a little bit smaller.
Mm-hmm. In your book, you have a Bargello yoga mat bag. But the Bargello part, whether you make a yoga bag or not, the Bargello part is so fun. And this you have on your website, elaineschmidt.com, as a freebie. So can you tell me a little bit about it?
Well, sure. Again, this is from the pre-cut patchwork book, so we're starting out with pre-cut strips. I think it takes 17 of them, and I've stitched them together, one against the other, to create a fabric. And then I made a cylinder, and then I cross-cut the strips. And once that's done, then I can un-sew or rip out one seam and make a long strip. And then I can vary where I do that on subsequent strips so that it creates a pattern. I know that's a little hard to understand with just my words.
Yeah.
But if you look on the website, you'll see it looks a lot more difficult than it is,
mm-hmm.
which is one of those techniques I really like. and I think it's a nice way to play with color on your jelly roll strips and get some motion with how they're pieced together. But again, there's very little cutting. You've already started out with the pre-cut strips, so it's easy to get going on this. And then I use fat quarters to line it
mm-hmm.
and a little bit of ribbon to make the handle.
You know, the ribbon for the handle is just that extra special little touch. And how do you do it so that the ribbon, so it's not just, it's just not one piece, is it? Or did you back it?
No, no. You know, I like to use ribbon for the qualities of it is. It's strong. The edges mm-hmm. are finished. Yes, I could have made the handle for that bag with fabric strips.
Mm-hmm.
I would have had to interface them or reinforce them or some way. But with ribbon, it's nice and strong. So in that case, I took two ribbons, and they're two different ribbons. They don't have to be the same print, but they're the mm-hmm. same width. And I placed them wrong sides together. I used a little bit of fusible, or you could use a fabric glue to hold them together while you sew them. And then I sew them close to the edge, or you can zigzag over the edge. So you end up with a finished double-sided ribbon that is really very sturdy.
You know, the ribbons themselves are like a whole other world of beautiful textiles. Well, they are. They are a whole other world. And I just love that you are so good at incorporating that with the fabric that we have. When did you start playing with ribbons, Elaine?
Oh, goodness. it goes back a bit. But several years ago, I was involved with a chain of stores called the Ribbon Outlet Stores.
Mm-hmm.
And my job for this group of stores was to create projects using ribbon. So I just made anything I could think of to use ribbon. And I just have always had this love. And now that the sewing ribbons that have come along recently, the beautiful woven jacquard ribbons, they are just perfect for working with our quilting fabrics. Renaissance Ribbon in particular is working with designers who have wonderful collections and are creating ribbons that coordinate beautifully with them. So they are a lovely complement to lots of different projects.
You know, I think that as quilters, we're always looking for that little next thing or that accent. Or like when I was talking to Amy in the previous section, she does a lot of very detailed work. So I think the ribbon adds that to projects. How do you go about collecting it? Like if somebody really, you know, they've seen it, but they're like, oh, you know, I'm mostly a quilter. You know, maybe I make a few bags, but, you know, how would you tell somebody to think about the ribbons when they're going to start collecting them?
Well, you know, you fall in love with them because they're so beautiful. They're like little tapestries.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them, when they're really wide, they can be a little expensive. And I think those are the ones I would advise. You can get by with a little bit of a half a yard to do mm-hmm. something, a fun little project. Or if you sew handbags, a yard is plenty to do a handle, shoulder handle.
Mm-hmm.
And then on some of the other ribbons where I know I can do other techniques with them, maybe not the woven, like grosgrains and Petersham ribbons, those I'll probably suggest people get a couple yards, especially if it's a color they really like, because sometimes those colors come and go. But I think, you know, gathering a stash of ribbons is as much fun as gathering a stash of fabrics, just as addicting.
You know, I think that's kind of an interesting point about the color that, you know, just like fabric, you know, the ribbons are going to have certain colors. What's kind of a popular color right now?
Oh, gosh. I mean, I think you're seeing just some really wonderful tones. It runs a gamut. It's hard for me to pick a very trendier mm-hmm. or favorite color because I love them all. I mean, from black and white to hot colors to warm colors. So I can't say one particular one is really now. But I do think that when you fall in love with a ribbon, you should get it. Sometimes you just don't. I have vintage ribbons that I've collected. I have great stripes, which, again, they're hard to find sometimes, and they can do such interesting things in terms of embellishments and manipulating them, pleating them, gathering them, which I go into in my newest book, which is all about ribbon embellishment.
Right. Yeah, I want to talk about that because the ribbon embellishments, that's the title of it, is How to Make 100 Ribbon Embellishments. And you have gone through so many wonderful options, just telling us about the different ribbons. Can you give me just a little overview?
Well, in the book, my assignment was to come up with 100 ribbon embellishments. So I have studied over the years vintage techniques, and I have just gathered a group of ones that I think work particularly well with contemporary ribbons. And I divided them up into rosettes or medallions, circular motifs, as well as leaves. There's a big chapter on that. Then I have a series of trims and braids that I've done, again, with a lot of pleating and gathering and manipulating. Very simple ribbons can be made to look can create a very ornate trim that could trim a pillow or a bag or whatever. Then I've done a chapter on sculptures, little items you can create by, again, folding and stitching ribbons with maybe just a little drop of glue. Here and there you could make a fish or a heart or a flower, and those are great little accents for headbands, or I can see the fish maybe on a wall hanging that has an ocean theme. Mm-hmm. And then the last chapter is everything I couldn't find a place for, and I call it beads and baubles, because I've done beads out of ribbon, and I've done some three-dimensional things that would be good ornaments, and just some fun things. Again, many of them based on very old techniques. But so with contemporary ribbons and contemporary colors, they just look very, very different.
Elaine, can I ask you if you could stay on after the break for just a little bit more to continue talking?
Sure.
Would you be able to do that?
Absolutely.
Yeah, because I'd like to go in a little bit more detail on this.
Okay.
Okay. We're going to take a little break, folks, and we'll be right back.
Looking for fresh, simple, and fun projects and ideas? Check out the current issue of Quilts & More magazine at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
This quilting tip brought to you by Moda Fabrics. Visit modafabrics.com or your local quilt shop to see the latest fabric collections. To maintain consistency when piecing, keep your eye on the spot where the needle enters the fabric, not the needle going up and down.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Keltner, Executive Editor of American Patchwork and Quilting, and I'd like to invite you to join me in making a pillowcase and making a difference. It's easy. Make and donate pillowcases in your local community. Use your favorite pattern or choose from one of the free patterns at allpeoplequilt.com. Whether you sew pillowcases with a group or by yourself, you can help someone less fortunate. You could donate them to a women's shelter, boys or girls club, homeless shelter, veterans home, or any other organization you know of in need. Once you donate the pillowcases, log on to allpeoplequilt.com. Click on the box in the upper right-hand corner for the 1 million pillowcase challenge and enter the number of pillowcases you created to our national tally. We know quilting changes everything, and we're out to show the world just how much quilters care. Please join the American Patchwork and Quilting 1 million pillowcase challenge. We're counting on you.
See what other quilters are up to on the American Patchwork and Quilting page on Facebook. Simply go to facebook.com and search for APQ Magazine.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting's podcast. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. I'm going to just wrap up with Elaine, and then we're going to go on to Sarah Filkey, who's in Australia. But first, Elaine, tell me about the strawberry that's in your book, Ribbon Embellishments. Can you just tell me how it's done? You know, what is like a tip for doing that. It's so adorable.
Oh, well, thanks. Well, that's just an easy little thing you can do by folding ribbon. I mean, I like to use a little grosgrain because it has a nice body to it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's folded one side over the other, and a little dab of glue forms the base shape. And then the top is a piece of green grosgrain. Again, I cut into it to give it the look of a little pointed edge. And anytime I cut into grosgrain ribbon like that, I'll use a little bit of fray check so it doesn't fray in a case like that, because I don't want it to look, should it be washed or anything. I want it to keep a nice fresh look. So, again, that's just glued on top, and it really goes together quite simply.
It is absolutely worth the book. Too. Yeah, I mean,
well, good. I'm glad you liked that one.
Yeah, there's just tons and tons of great ways to create ribbons and use your ribbons that you've bought with Elaine Schmidt's book, How to Make 100 Ribbon Embellishments. Elaine, thank you so much for being here and staying on a few more minutes so that we could talk about strawberries.
Thank you, Pat.
Now, we're going to switch over to Australia. Wouldn't it be nice if I could just fly over there and have some tea with Sarah this morning? But I can't. So Sarah's joining me here online. So hi, Sarah. Thanks for being here.
Hi, Pat. How are you?
I am good. I am good. So are we drinking tea together?
It's like... We are drinking tea together, yes. Yes.
Oh, fabulous. You and I were chatting, and you have a new book out with your very good friend, Amy. And I thought, you know, this, and you have new fabric and you have a thread collection. I thought, let's just talk about this. Tell me about the book first, because you're the author of several books, and the newest one is called Little Quilts.
Yes, that's right. So Amy and I have been online friends for a long time, and we used to have a little business together making tiny little quilts, so small quilts.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought it would be really, really fun to, you know, have a business where you would get a little pattern into your inbox, you know, your mailbox, mm-hmm. Once a month. So we did that for a while. And after we'd made a few of them, we started looking at them together as a collection and thought, that would just be such a fun book. And so we've been really lucky that it's turned into one.
So Amy Lobsinger is your buddy. And so did you two of you make like the half of them Amy's and half of them yours in this book?
Yep. So the way our little business worked was that it started out by each month Amy and I would make a quilt for the other person and send it to them as a book. And so the book is kind of written like that. There's Amy and I have made half of them each and then made one together at the end, which was kind of fun. Amy made part of it and then posted it to me and then I finished it off. So.
Oh, well, I love your little grandma's house that you designed. With like little Red Riding Hood, and then you have the unicorn fabric. So the unicorn is sitting there. It is just so cute. How big is that?
It's really only very little. It's about 14 inches by 10 inches.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you did a really, it's a bit asymmetrical, which of course I'm very drawn to. And I love that you have like a little bitty red swatch on the one side. Just when you're designing something that small, what is the key to keeping it very cohesive?
I think with anything that you're designing that's improvisational, for starters, mm-hmm. it's really important to make sure that even though something's really scrappy or perhaps wonky or whatever, that you keep the colours balanced and the scale of the patterns balanced to what mm-hmm. you make. So even though the little Red Riding Hood, for example, is very tiny, the patterns on the fabric that she's made out of are quite small so that she doesn't look out of proportion.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've kind of added little bits of red fabric, you know, off to the sides to balance her out a little bit. And
it's scale of three pretty much, because your red is used three times. So in a piece that's small, your eye flows around. It's excellent.
Yes, that's right. And making sure that, you know, you balance colors. So it's not just even about using three, but about using mm-hmm. three in different places around the quilt so that your eye has somewhere to move to
mm-hmm.
is really
mm-hmm.
important. Because otherwise you'll just be drawn to one corner, and, you know, especially in something that small, it can be quite overwhelming.
So do you have another like major thing about how, you know, how should people think when they're pulling fabric for a small quilt, for a little quilt?
I think the most important thing is to be aware of scale, you know, be aware of the size of the piece that you're making and how that relates to the fabric that you're making. When you're making a bigger quilt, it doesn't matter so much if you cut up a really large piece of fabric into smaller pieces.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot more of them and there's a lot more places for your eye to go. But on something small, it's really important that you pay attention to the scale of the print.
Mm-hmm. And that is just really key, because if you have a big print and then you cut it up small, then you might have like a color showing that you weren't even intending.
That's right. And on a very small piece of patchwork, that can completely change what you meant to make. So it's quite important to think more about, you know, what the scale of the fabric's going to do to the piece that you're cutting up.
Can you tell me how the bee is done on the honeycomb? Because I'm sure you're going to be asked this a zillion and one times until people own the book and can look.
Yeah, the bee is very popular.
Yes.
The bee is hand embroidered. So I used an Aurifil Mako 12, which I absolutely love. It's beautiful, beautiful thread. And I actually, for more chunky embroidery like that, I like to use it more than floss.
Mm.
It has a beautiful sheen to it. And I just popped it in a little hoop and traced the bee on there with a, with a pencil and a light box.
Mm-hmm.
And then mostly the bee is just backstitched. There's a few other little stitches on there, but really it's very simple.
Ah, well, it's just, and then you have it on hexagons, which look like a honeycomb. And so it's just perfect. I love it.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, it's my favorite quilt in the book too. Yeah. So now, I'm really pleased that people like it.
Which one of Amy's is your favorite in the book of hers?
I actually like, well, it's hard to say. I like all of them.
I know.
I really love the little red polka dot baskets that are in, because she made that quilt for my birthday.
Oh.
So it was a special birthday quilt. So I really love that.
Yeah.
But I think the Fans of May is my favourite one of hers.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely love it. I just love the originality of the little fans. They're actually put onto pieces of felt and they're loose so that they stand out from the quilt.
Mm.
And I love the idea that she set all the little squares. Those little squares will set on point in the middle and then little fans with rickrack around the outside. I just think it's beautiful. I really love it. And I love her color balance in that quilt.
Yeah, it is another. The whole book is fantastic. So everybody needs to get little quilts and make them.
Yeah, look, it's such a cute book, and it's terrific for swapping quilts with people. And, you know, it's just a fun book. We're really proud of it.
So tell me about your newest fabric line. It is delightful. I love it.
Thank you very much. I'm very, very excited about this range of fabric. It's my first range with Wyndham Fabrics, and I have just loved working with them. And the fabric is just everything I wanted it to be. It's bright and cheerful and clean and whimsical, and I'm just really happy with it.
What are the colors? Tell us, sort of describe it a little bit.
So there's a lot of white background, which is what I like. I love fresh fabric. But the colors on the top they're bright, but they're not oversaturated. I think they're colorful rather than bright. Mm-hmm. So there's a beautiful cherry red and lime green, which is my favorite. And some lovely yellows and oranges and some aqua blue, which is always my favorite.
Yay.
It's just fresh and nice and fun. And I particularly love the how the main print came out. It has a peacock. And my idea behind the range was that the peacock's kind of walking through the castle garden.
Mm-hmm.
So there's all the whimsical flowers, you know, from the garden, and there's some little bits of fairy dust are the spots and topiary trees and Yeah, fun things like that.
I just think it is just everybody needs it. What's the name of it again?
It's called Enchanted.
Enchanted, yeah. And your Aurifil threads go with this. And I love when the designers put the kits together with colors that work with their palette, because everybody's looking for that. They're like, what colors did you use? You know, and you can just say, here, this is my set of colors. Which weight did you select for your kit?
So I went with the 50 weight. Mm-hmm. And it was a big toss-up for me because I use Aurifil's 12 weights for hand mm-hmm. quilting, and I'm kind of, known for that, my big stitch
right.
quilting.
Right.
I do a lot of hand applique, and I love to hand applique very much, and I teach a lot of hand applique, and that's what I use the 50 weight for. It's beautiful and fine, and it just disappears when you're doing needle turn applique. So the idea of having thread that matched to my fabric for hand applique was really, really appealing. And of course you can use it in your machine too. It's beautiful in your machine, but I love to use it especially for hand applique.
Yeah, that and the box is adorable. Your cover, I love it. So what is the name of it? Tell everybody.
It's called Folk Tales.
Yeah.
So that kind of, ties in with Enchanted and the
yes.
Castle Garden and all of that stuff. Yeah, I'm really pleased with it. And I just love to open the box up and look at it. I have one I haven't opened any of the threads because it just looks so pretty. It's like lollies. So I just give it a little and put it away.
I know. You just have to, they're always so fun whenever, you get a new box of thread. It's like a new box of crayons, right?
Oh, absolutely. They're just so pretty. Just can't stop looking at them.
Now, we have about, half a minute just or so. Are you doing any traveling to teach?
I am. I'll be in New Zealand a couple of times in the coming months, which, doesn't help you guys in America very much. but the biggest thing I'm doing next year is something called Glamp Stitch a Lot for Pink Castle Fabrics.
Oh, cool.
We're having a fantastic retreat in Michigan, which is going to be an absolute blast. And I will also be at Sisters next year, teaching at Sisters for Valerie Wells and her mum Jean. And I'm so excited about that. I can't even tell you. So, I have some fun trips to the US next year.
Well, Sarah, thank you for jumping on here this morning with me, morning your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me, Pat. It's fun to talk to you.
Yeah. This is American Patchwork and Quilting's podcast. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. Visit the magazine out at allpeoplequilt.com. You can visit me at patsloan.com. See you next time.
Remember to visit allpeoplequilt.com for more information on topics from today's show, as well as how-to videos, free printable patterns, and additional tips and techniques. Thanks for listening.